Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're going to continue with our lesson today about the Apostle Peter when he denied the Lord. And we're dwelling upon that phrase, "and he went out and wept bitterly." We're trying to discover what it was that Peter had done, what had led him to that situation. And not only are we interested in why Peter did that, but why people today will deny the Lord one way or another by their words and by their deeds. And we have seen the possibility that the Apostle Peter was sinfully proud. He had said, "Though all men offend are offended because of thee, I'll never be offended." Paul had warned, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Peter was just too sure of himself at this particular time. But Peter also placed himself at the wrong place and with the wrong company. The Bible says he followed afar off. He did not declare himself to be with Jesus, nor was he close enough to comfort Jesus. He was only close enough to show a sort of a fence-straddling mentality under the pressures of the moment. He went to the high priest's palace and to the den of the enemies of Christ. Matthew writes, "But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Putting himself in this location, it appeared to an onlooker that, well, he was just one of the company that opposed Jesus. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, Luke 22, verse 55. You see, Peter warmed himself by the enemy's fire. Those that didn't love the Lord, they had assembled for evil, and Peter sat down among them. You see, he had separated himself from the minority that loved the Lord Jesus, and he had joined the majority that rejected him. And in this unfavorable environment, and the pressure of a hostile crowd around him, his loyalty was not strong enough for him to stand. It provoked him to sin in denying his Lord. Once he was asked point blank about Jesus being forced now to take a stand one way or another, either to stand by his word to Christ or stand in good favor with the crowd around, he wrongfully chose the latter, seeking to please the crowd, the pressure of the crowd around him. You can call it peer pressure, you can call it whatever you want to call it. He simply could not be loyal to Christ. He said by his actions, "I'm one of you." Now, it was mentioned earlier in our lesson that the Apostle Peter's action in the garden was very significant by taking his sword. He seemed at that time willing to even fight the mob single-handedly if need be, with good intentions and certain sincerity. But those intentions were uttered when he was in the midst of his brethren. When he was with them, he found strength. When he was with the other apostles, there was boldness. And certainly there's great strength to be found in the fellowship of being with loyal brethren. But when he was among the enemy and separated from his brethren, he folded. What more encouragement, friend, do we need to always seek fellowship from the loyal and faithful Christian? You see, Peter had evidently not yet learned what God through Moses had taught back in the book of Exodus. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. It seems that Peter had not yet learned sufficiently to respect the sentiments of the very first psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's exactly what the Apostle Peter had done. That's forbidden to the people of God. You see, God's people are taught, Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Or what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now notice the admonition. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians chapter 14. The Apostle Peter, he violated those principles. He found himself in the company of those who were the enemies of Jesus Christ. Had not Christ taught his disciples to pray, lead us not to temptation, Matthew 6 and verse 13, back in the Sermon on the Mount? But you see, Peter placed himself where sin had every opportunity. Friend, we must learn the serious blunder of Peter. Regardless of what is popular, whatever most may say, whatever most may do, whatever most may think, whichever way the majority goes is the way that some people want to go. But we must remember, right is right, and wrong is wrong, and we must do what is right. Is not that what God expects of his people? We will do what is right and adhere to the word of God, and that's the way we can do what is right. But when we follow the trends, follow the crowds, go with the multitudes, seek out the glamorous and the new for the sake of just going along to get along, we will bring about our own spiritual disaster. Christians today are afflicted with a similar problem that Peter faced. We can become so proud that we think, well, it can't happen to me. I'm above all of that. I'll never forsake my Lord. Is it not true that we sing a song with those sentiments, I'll never forsake my Lord? But listen, as we sing, we need to increase our alertness and our determination. There are many others who, just a few back turns of the clock, they were singing the same thing. They were thinking such things, but who have now done just what they said they would never do. We dare not trifle with temptation, friend. Sin is a serious matter. Some are saying, and some are believing and doing, that they would never turn back from the Lord. But they are doing the very thing that they said a few years ago they would never do. You see, apostasy is like that. And Christians are daring the devil when they place themselves at the wrong places and with the wrong people. When they go to these night spots and the taverns and the bars, some even have bars in their own home, serving the social drinks. On the dance floor, you may call it a school gymnasium, but it's a dance floor of lascivious behavior and thinking. Such places are off limits to the Christian friend. When you are in such company and you're engaged in such practices, there's the temptation to sin. Consider the evil that springs from mixed swimming, the indecent bodily exposure, immodest dress. Ah, friend, how many lives have been marred because people have ignored the warnings of such temptations, following the foolish fashions of a degenerate age. That's no manner of life for the child of God. You see, sometimes Christians will even flirt with sin. And why do they do that? They seek to please the crowd. That's what Peter was doing. They keep company with the sinful, with the digressive, with the liberal. They cultivate their friendships among the immoral and those with harmful habits. They drink with those who drink. They use drugs with those who use drugs. They're disrespectful of sacred things. Christians are not supposed to do that, friend. There are even churches today that seek to be accepted by the community at large, and they do that by sacrificing sound doctrine. They do that by their compromising. Many brethren just seem like want to go along with almost everything that comes along down the path. We must remember that being with the in the crowd may be we're out with God. Because Paul said evil companions corrupt good morals. It is still true. It's bewildering that Christians sometimes feel like they're compelled to just go along with whatever comes along. That's not the way we're to live. If we place ourselves in compromised positions, we may well retreat in fear and cowardice when we're called upon to take a stand. The Apostle Peter did. Are we as strong as Peter? And as for Peter, once he received that look from Jesus, he went out and wept bitterly. Well, since Peter stumbled as he did, we can be glad that he reacted the way he did once it was laid before him. You know, he could have hardened his heart in cold indifference. He could have excused himself. He could have just gone his own way. He could have said, I'm not the only one. Many have done exactly that once their sin is brought to their attention. He could have reacted like Judas, grief-stricken but with a godly sorrow that led to repentance. And a more penitent man we do not find in Scripture than when we see Peter when he went out and wept bitterly. Remembering the words of his master and crushed with the guilt of sin, he repented. And we know that he did because the rest of his life reflects that repentance. He recovered. He rejoined the disciples. And we later see him running to and fro to the empty tomb of Jesus to see for himself. We see and hear this man boldly standing before those in Jerusalem proclaiming that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. No longer was he the man that said, I know not the man. But he was proclaiming the man there on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit guided him. And with a fervent and determined faith, oh, was so proud he turned like he did. And not only did he preach there on the day of Pentecost, it was the Apostle Peter that the Lord sent to the first Gentiles to hear the gospel at the household of Cornelius, of which we read in Acts chapter 10. And the Holy Spirit used this same apostle to write two of the epistles of the New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. Yes, we see this phrase, and he went out and wept bitterly. But that wasn't the last of the Apostle Peter. We see him as a stalwart, faithful proclaimer of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he had acknowledged and confessed some time earlier. Friend, let us be careful of our lives. Let us not let it be said of us that we turned our back upon the Lord at any time. We need to repent of our sins to be sure in faith and confess our faith and be baptized into Christ, but we also must remain faithful in the Lord. And when we do, when we die, all will be well with the soul, and we will be in heaven with God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd.